Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Grid Gas Bags. We're your Grid Gas Bags, Eleanor and
Katrina.
I changed that intro. I was like, I'm rolling with it now.
Once again,
post Monza, and we're a couple of days late.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen like every second or third race. Whenever we can, we will watch the race live over at our parents' house.
No, we won't. I'm not watching it live at 3 a.m.
No. The one's gone.
These are false promises.
The one's gone. So whenever it is possible, we will watch that live at our parents' house because our dad's always loved it. However,
hold on,
as a result of that, we are not going to get back home and then record at 1 a.m. Not happening.
He was true to his word. He wasn't paying attention at all. The whole race, he got a new phone and he was like, oh, Eleanor, I don't know what I'm doing. It's not letting me get my emails. He didn't even go through the first step. Like, he was like, it's not letting me work. I'm like, did you click next? He was like, yes.
No.
I'm
like, clearly didn't. English.
You clearly didn't. Anyway,
like, so he said the language. It doesn't mean anything else.
So he was trying to set up his phone, but like every maybe 10 minutes or so, he'd pop his head up. Where's Ricardo?
But he you miss the important thing. So when Ricardo's car just died on him,
where is he?
He missed it. Where is he?
He's out.
Like, you realize, like, you've been sitting here patiently for... You've been sitting here patiently for what, 40 minutes and...
You didn't realise he disappeared.
And it's like lap 47, he's not there anymore. However, it is said, if you look at the statistics, the Monza curse is live and running true. So whatever, somebody at some point in time has gone, no prolonged glory for you.
So before we go into the curse, the standings were Verstappen... Verstappen, Leclerc, and then Russell. So in terms of our prediction, I said Leclerc and Russell would be in the top three. They were in the wrong order. You had the top three perfect, but in reverse.
Did I?
You said Russell, Leclerc, Verstappen.
Oh, okay.
So you had it in reverse, but oh my gosh.
It would be nice if Russell won though.
The beginning of the race was so good. But Norris had a really, really, really bad start. It's like his car didn't even start. It's like, okay. And then... Verstappen made his way up the field. Hamilton did a really good double overtake on like lap 20 or something.
I reblogged a video this morning.
Apologies if you can hear some noises in the background.
We've got some beautiful birds just sitting by the window.
Very, very vocal. And looking outside, the sky is completely grey. Very, very, very much like September weather. It could be sunny, could be horribly rainy.
So you probably
hear
a downpour in a second or two.
Because it hailed on Monday?
No, it hailed yesterday.
It hailed yesterday? Anyway, so we might, if you hear a lot of white noise in the background, that'll be the rain and or birds. And I have no idea how to edit it out. So apologies in advance.
Deal with the birds. I reblogged a video this morning and it was, I don't know who originally posted it, but I think it was taken from Twitter. Because you can see where someone finds the source from.
Can you?
Yeah. A lot of people are really good. They tag their sources now. But what it was a compilation of sites moving up the field and what lap it was.
So
it was like lap one.
He started like 19th. He was second last?
He was 18th. So last
Hamilton
was
second last.
Sonoda. Hamilton was second last. Sainz was third last.
Hamilton and Sainz did so well.
Yeah, so Hamilton and Sainz both equally made up 16 places, I think, was it?
I think, no.
14 places.
So the end
What's 18 take four? 14 places.
The end standings were, it was Verstappen, Leclerc, Russell, Sainz, then Hamilton.
So both of them equally made up 14 places. And the video just has a compilation of it, and it was like, and he's gone from P16 to P15 to P14 to P13 to P12. And it's been such a long time since I've seen a compilation like that, because typically someone starting in the back will do a few overtakes and that's it. But for both of two of the top drivers this year to go from the back to the front, yeah, none of them won. But it's just
they would have, I think they would have had a very good chance of pushing Leclerc or Russell out. Forget about team orders. Just think about it. If there were any other random cars and they in the race kept
Hamilton
on going.
Hamilton and Sainz could have definitely given Russell and Leclerc excuse us, we want to go 2-3 instead of you two being 4-5.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think anyone could have caught Verstappen. And although we are Ferrari fans and everyone's like, it was unfair
he's deserved the win.
Oh, he definitely did. Well, he is an unexpected winner of Monza, so that's
He's never placed on the podium
there, and he's been there, 7 years?
7 years.
No, but the thing is I don't think Leclerc would have won anyways.
Okay, why not?
Because his car wasn't fast enough. Did you see how quickly Verstappen caught up to him?
He
pitted under the virtual safety car, but his car is just ridiculously fast anyways. But that being said, there was a few DNFs. Poor Seb, his last ever Italian race.
European race.
And he didn't finish. They play the audio of him shouting no when he had to pull his car over. And just like Leclerc's no shout in France, that hurt to listen to.
So Vettel, Stroll, Alonso and Ricciardo all didn't finish the race.
Yes. Vettel and Ricciardo didn't finish on the track on the race. And Alonso and Stroll managed to go back to the pits. But one thing is, Monza curse is live and true. The previous winner DNF.
Explain what the Monza curse is. I thought it was the complete reverse of what the actual Monza curse is.
So what it is the person who wins the next... So the person who wins in this year will DNF next year, and then the replacement winner will be an unlikely winner. So it started in 2019.
Maybe not an unlikely winner, but not the expected winner.
It's not the expected winner, hence unlikely. Leclerc won in 2019, and in 2020 he DNF'd. 2020, Gasly won.
Which was very unexpected.
2021, Gasly DNF'd. 2021, Ricciardo won. 2022, it came to fruition.
But his car just stopped.
His car just stopped.
And he was like, yep, it just, like in the interviews afterwards.
Whereas Gasly had an actual crash, and I think Leclerc's car stopped in 2020.
Like, Ricciardo just says his car just stopped. There was no rhyme or reason to it. His car just stopped working. It's a curse.
Which means everyone's like, oh, but like Max is an unexpected winner. Yes, he is an unexpected winner. Yes, he's got the fastest car, but he's never done well there before.
But he also started at seventh. So.
However, if this comes to fruition,
guess who's going to DNF next year?
That means Max will DNF. And we're not Max haters on here.
No, I think he deserves a win.
He totally deserves that win. However, we are a Ferrari championship household. So if Max DNFs next year, then that makes one less person who could actually fight for the running out of the running to allow for Ferrari to win.
So exposing us here, this is how much we like Ferrari. Well, the family at least. So everybody has a digital TV. We don't have a digital TV.
Yeah, we're old school. We've got a set-top box to convert the signal.
Two analog TVs, one at our house and one, which Dad was like, well, we want to watch the F1 with you. And we were like, well, do you have like the streaming platforms on your TV? He's like, no. I was like, okay, great.
And we can't connect an HDMI cord to their actual TV.
No, they don't.
So we move an old TV in front of it.
But TV doesn't have any inputs to HDMI.
No, the inputs to the HDMI of that specific TV are behind it. However, that TV is screwed onto the wall.
Yeah. Mm. That was a mistake by Dad. Anyway, so for the first couple of races, we used to transport our TV in the back of our car with all the cords, everything, to Mum and Dad's. And so we're like, okay, this is way too much to do every single time we want to watch the race. We'll leave the TV there and we'll bring the cords. Every single time we've gone to their house, we've forgotten the cords. We've forgotten the cords. We've forgotten the connector. I've
forgotten the computer charger. Forgotten the computer.
And so anyway, so we hadn't seen Mum and Dad for maybe 2 weeks, and we were talking, we started dinner at 6 o'clock, and we were talking up until 8:48. We start to connect everything up and we realize, oh no.
There's no HDMI cord.
We don't have the HDMI cord. And it was great because this was another thing that we'd forgotten. So we rushed home. I don't think I've ever tailgated anybody that much before.
We were lucky there was no traffic.
Luckily, there was no traffic in the way that we were going. Anyway, so we were like, oh no, we're going to miss the anthem. We're going to miss it. So what does Katrina do? Katrina is DJ in the car as I'm driving. What do you put on the radio? What do you put on just to make us feel like we're not missing the race?
I put on the Anvil chorus from Il Travottare by Verdi.
So a famous Italian composer.
It is very motivating to drive faster. It is motivating because it is like a... It is a chorus.
It's the song from the pasta
ad. Not just a singing song. It is a chorus and a shouting chorus. They're literally whacking an anvil in the back of the song. If any of you haven't listened to it before, like just YouTube, the Anvil chorus, you're going to have a blast. Anyway, it's very mood setting for an Italian GP.
And I was like, okay, great song choice, Katrina. We go home and quickly pick up the cord. Just the one tiny cord. In response to this, we've now bought a secondary cord and a secondary adapter, so it's that now stays at our parents' house. We just have to bring our laptop. And so what do you play driving back to their house?
Oh, and then I chuck on the Italian anthem. And I'm glad we did, because
we missed it.
We missed it. But also when we put on the replay when we got there, the audio connections didn't work.
Oh,
anyway,
Bocelli.
Andrea Bocelli was singing it and parents weren't paying attention at all. Bocelli comes on the screen. Andrea Bocelli! And again, that perked up their interests.
Again, exposing us here. Katrina, what was our first ever concert we ever saw? No. The first ever concert we ever saw, we say, was Christina Aguilera.
It was not
Christina Aguilera.
It depends on who asks.
The first Broadway we ever saw was Boy from Oz. That doesn't count as your first concert. So Katrina, tell us, what was our first concert that we saw, that we chose to see? Not we were forced to. We chose to see. Yeah, we voluntarily saved our money and bought
sure
tickets
we were
for this.
Like maybe...
We were 12.
Oh, yeah. No, I think maybe 11. 11 or 12.
We hadn't started high school. Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay, we hadn't started high school.
And it was Andrea Bocelli. That was our first ever concert. We would have been the only people,
under the age of 50.
Like the average age there would have been maybe 70. And then I'm saying that the median age would have been 70. The average age probably would have been 50, brought down by us two 11-year-olds.
But the best thing is Katrina and I were just standing up the whole time listening to it. And anyway, so Bocelli comes on to the TV. He sings the Australian anthem. He sings the Italian anthem. But the sound didn't work.
Well, the crowd were loud enough.
I don't know what was going on with the sound text, but they were focusing on the aeroplane. Like, no one wants to hear an aeroplane.
No, I think they were trying to buffer out the sound of the jet.
Oh, and they obviously did it the wrong way. Anyway, so all you could hear was the aeroplanes and then everybody cheering really loudly, singing the Italian anthem. I mean, the Tifosi are great, but not as great as Andrea Bocelli. So the shame is that Andrea Bocelli, you only got to hear the last couple of bits. But man, he's doing well for 80.
I thought he was dead, but no, he's still kicking.
He's still going. He's still good. So, that set up the beginning of the race, all these different overtakes, and then...
And it was great to watch. Awesome. And then it got a little bit boring.
What do you mean a little bit boring? It got very boring.
But the thing is when Ricardo, his car stopped on the track, they didn't red flag the session, but there was a crane on the track.
So he stopped at one of the points in the... He stopped at one of the parts of the race where it was very difficult to...
Yeah, there was a grandstand and it was difficult to in-access. But on the track, the crane had come on.
There was no gravel. It was literally maybe a meter or 2 meters worth of grass, then a fence, and then one of the grandstands.
But every other time that there's been a equipment on the track to remove a car, they'll red flag the session because... heavy machinery is effectively going on there, and if there's cars driving around, it's not safe. Think about when there's roadworks just regularly. If there's people in LVs, HVs, and there's
trucks,
light vehicle, heavy vehicle.
So big car or little car?
Big car, little car. Big truck, small truck. They will typically reduce the speed around for the safety of the people driving, not just the people in the heavy machinery, but the actual people around it.
It's a safety hazard.
Yeah.
They didn't do their take five.
And then there was... The crane was brought on the track to remove Ricardo's car because he couldn't do anything about it. And there's been footage that's been released afterwards, not on the direction of the TV from the version that we were watching at least, but it's popped up on my Tumblr. And there's image of what looks like the tractor on the track reversing. cars are coming around it.
Tractor, it reminds me of that song that Guy used to play all the time. I'll play. There's a tractor song. Oh, yeah, there's a washing machine. There's a tractor song. Anyway.
And you can see that the F1 cars get really, really close to it when they're going around that area. So one, that's a safety hazard. Two, the reason why they decided to red flag the session was because people have died when there's been equipment on the track before.
Jules Bianchi.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, it was wet and, yes, he didn't have an halo, but, that's the whole reason why they get red flagged. And then what also has come out is images of the crane tractor. It's not really a crane, but,
It's kind of a crane.
Yeah, a portable crane.
It's a tractor with a lifting...
Yeah, a lifting arm. Yep. And they've lifted Ricardo's car off of the track and they've taken it to behind where the access part is, and the car is just dangling there and there's people swarming around it, and it's like, I don't where's the driver, as in the driver of the tractor, where's the safety marshals?
Ricardo's not in the car.
No, There are, well, he might as well have been, based on like how all these people were right near, they effectively could have been underneath it. Like if the car would have dropped, there wasn't a drop zone, like there wasn't like a 2 meter radius around the tractor. They were just standing there. At least that's what it looked like from the angle of this picture, that they could have been, like it, you cannot, it's a safety hazard to stand under a moving piece of equipment. So even if it's a crane that has nothing in it, you should not stand dangerous. Underneath where the crane arm goes. Let alone the arm holding.
Suspended loads.
Suspended loads, yeah. Let alone a crane holding a huge car.
But those cars weigh a lot. It's a ton.
And then just, but like people were, let's like take a picture underneath it. I understand you want to take a picture of the car and like you want to look what like the floor and everything looks like. But also you could die if you stand underneath that car. I just don't think people realised.
No, I don't think so.
So that there to me was kind of like, oh, Jesus, but as opposed to the DNFs.
But the interesting thing is that this happened, so there's 53 laps for the whole race. This happened on lap 47.
So he DNF'd at 47, but it took the rest of the race for the car to be removed.
But you know what? If they would have just put a red flag at lap 48, there would have been 5 laps left. They would have red flagged it, everybody come in, get the tractor to remove the car, get everything safely out of the way, fine, and then restart the race at lap 48. If they restarted the race at lap 48, it would have removed the potential issue of somebody crashing into the tractor. It would have given it, Ferrari would have loved a restart.
I don't think Ferrari would have been able to win that, even if it was a restart, but at least it gives you the hope that you could win.
But they should have red flagged it. I don't know what the FIA rules are.
But it wasn't just for Ferrari doing one too. Haas were really annoyed that they couldn't get into the top 10.
Yeah.
Like if you hear the audio of Mick Schumacher when they're told it's going to end under the safety car, he's really pissed. Like he's very angry.
But one thing is that I don't know how many articles and if you've caught up with the media post the race, but the FIA had like a meeting or a conference or a something.
I think it's a conference.
All the important people got into the room to try to figure out what to do about ending races on yellow flags, all of that. No one could come to a decision. So I reckon there were parties for leave it as yellows, parties for make it as reds.
Someone tied.
Someone to be like, we need a completely different system. So they haven't figured that out. So I don't think they'll do anything for this year.
No.
However, next year.
Or
I
maybe
reckon
the year after.
There'll be something in place to make sure that that doesn't happen.
They will
happen.
Start to discuss it a bit more.
Because De Vries got so close to the tractor.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Speaking of which, how there's been discussions around changing of rules, there's been also discussion that surfaced around how penalties are applied.
Oh my gosh, and whether it's so confusing.
One, it's really confusing when a lot of people have penalties applied and the qualifying, you can't work out who's finishing where. Two, the current system does not promote equality.
How can you have 60 grid penalties? There's only 20 places on the grid.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
There seems to be, once you hit that threshold, just do whatever you want. So if I was one of the lead mechanics and I had a car that was really, like if I was Max Verstappen's engineer, I've won 3 races in a row outside of the top 5. Every single race, you can give him brand new equipment and still practically be guaranteed that he's going to win. No impact whatsoever.
No impact to him. Impact to everybody else.
Exactly. No impact to him. So
it's the false sense of security. Oh, Max is starting 5th. He won't win. Wrong.
Exactly. But wrong. Also, there seems to be the whole point of... Hold on. Hiccup. Sorry. The whole point of having...
No, hiccup into the mic.
Nah. The whole purpose of having penalties is to fairly place a restriction on the car in order to make those who don't have a engineering benefit applied.
Evens up the playing field.
It does even up the playing field.
Well, sorry.
And for the fact that half
marks,
of half of the grid on Sunday had penalties of some sort applied. Half of them. I think it was 9 out of the 20 that ended up having a penalty applied pre-race.
Well, the only reason why we knew that is because we recorded the day after. So one good thing about the time zones is that
you got it correct.
We recorded Sunday morning, and that was when it was decided that Verstappen was starting 7th. Up until then, again,
he was starting 4th.
They thought he was starting 4th or 3rd. Like, there was so much confusion because of the grid penalties.
Yeah. And the thing is the way that the penalties are applied, I think, works if there's only 2 or 3 people taking a penalty. But because
field.
One team will see that one team is... So team A sees that team B is taking a penalty. then Team A is also going to take a penalty because they're the direct competitors. They might as well have just as much car and start at the same place because it makes no difference. And then Team C sees that Team A and B have taken a penalty and Team C does as well. And but it's just a knock-on effect, which really nullifies the whole purpose of it. I think they should probably change the penalties not just to a grid place, but I feel as if it should be
points.
It should be like a combination of things. So
points or finance or something.
I saw an article that was talking about how it should be specifically towards constructor points. So if you
it's not the driver's choice.
It's not the driver's choice to have it's not necessarily in the driver's control. So for example, when Sainz's car effectively all went on fire in Austria, he was not like he could have reused any of those parts. Yeah. I mean they're all burnt to crisps. So I saw somewhere where it was like they should put constructor points at a negative. So you take a deduction of 5 points for every X amount of components you get, and it makes no difference during the race of the year. So, like, you can get a brand new engine every single race and you could still start first. But then that could make an impact and you could lose 100 or so constructor points, to the point that you couldn't potentially end up in the negative points for constructors.
But also, that would be a great strategy if you just want your driver to win a world championship. However, if you're in the long game...
And that's it, because you could then effectively win the driver's championship, but you don't win the constructors, which means your team has less money next year.
What year was it that the winner didn't win the constructors? Was that Rosberg's year? Or was it last
year.
First?
Verstappen won last year and Mercedes won the constructors.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking about Mercedes not winning the constructors, do you want to explain the Abu Dhabi derby?
Yeah, so I was...
Abu Dhabi?
The UAE.
Do you want to explain?
I was also on Tumblr.
Curse number two.
Tumblr people are a fan of conspiracies, curses, really long, annoying posts.
So you're on a different
Every
Tumblr than I am.
Every sort of realm of the internet
She's on a different Tumblr than I am. I just get Tumblr memes. So the one that I saw last night was my favourite sources, Carlos Hines. And it was, his face was...
Superimposed onto mustard.
Mustard and tomato sauce. It was great. Okay, go on.
Sorry. Yeah, so I follow a big range of Tumblr blogs. I had a check the other day and was like, I don't know how people can follow more than 70. I get really overwhelmed. I'm following over 2,000, but
2,000?
Yeah, but I think a lot of them are inactive and or post once every 3 years.
Does that really count then?
Well, yeah, because they're still like active blogs, but they just don't post. They've not been deactivated.
But hold on, she doesn't follow 2,000 Ferrari or F1 blogs.
No. This is like 2,000 over...
Don't mislead them.
No. This is like 2,000 blogs across... How long have I had the platform account for? Since 2011.
Yeah.
So I've had... this is accumulated from over a decade worth and across like different fandoms, I guess. Although my original one's not a fandom. Anyways, I was on my original one's just pretty pictures.
Her original one's just like, this is a picture of the sky. This is a picture of some trees.
Anyway, so I was scrolling through F1 Tumblr the other day and it was talking about, oh, the Monza's curse is real, rah, rah, rah. And then it was like, oh, everyone's giving the Monza curse weight, but it's not the first curse that actually has come to fruition. So there was another one that popped up and they were like, Abu Dhabi has a curse and or the final race of the season has a curse. And obviously, I think this one needs to be taken...
Abu Dhabi is the final race of the season.
No, it never used to be. And I think this one needs to be taken with a grain of salt. Because there's more gaps in this than the Monza one. The Monza one is consecutive, so it's kind of like, it's way more easier to believe. This one here talks about whoever wins the last race of the season is the winner of the World Drivers' Championship the following year.
Wait, sorry. So whoever wins Abu Dhabi wins the next year.
Correct. So these are the examples.
If Lando wins Abu Dhabi this year, Lando will win next year.
Yes. That is at least the theory. So this one here,
I'm just looking at Katrina with my eyebrows raised.
So this one here has been
convinced
the person who posted this theory gave three examples.
Did they all include Hamilton?
No, none of these included Hamilton because Hamilton effectively has won every single one. So you know what? If we take Hamilton out, because we're considering him an outlier in this. Yes, he is still statistically relevant. However,
he actually is an outlier.
He is actually an outlier in this discussion.
Mm. Not normally, though.
And this is, and the person was like, this theory is for first winners only. Does not apply to multiple winners, i.e., covering off
no Hamilton.
Everything with Hamilton
and no Schumacher.
Yeah, this is covering off Hamilton and Vettel. Vettel apparently won Abu Dhabi in 2009.
And then he won 2010. And then he won
2010. And then we don't count 2011, 2012, 2013 based on this person's theory.
But hold on. He won 2011. He did. Technically, it's correct.
But this person has just gone, if we're excluding multiple world championships. Oh, shame. This is your first world championship.
Alonso won't win it again.
The next, we don't know. What if he wins this year?
Oh, remind me to talk about the meme about Alonso retiring.
I've got another one. Okay, and I've got another one to Alonso to talk about as well.
Go on. So Vettel won.
Yep, so that Vettel won Abu Dhabi in 2009 and he won the 2010 Drivers' Championship. The next one was a picture of Nico Rosberg. We are a fan of Rosberg in this household. We love Nico Rosberg.
He's
hilarious.
Sassy.
Exactly.
It's not what he says. It's what his face says.
It's what his face says and his words don't.
The side eye.
Amazing.
So good. So I hope he commentates Singapore.
Rosberg won the 2015 Abu Dhabi race.
Who won 2016?
The 2016 championship. Max Verstappen.
Oh, yeah, then we're discounting Hamilton because he won multiples. Yep.
Because the only three people that aren't Hamilton to have won a championship in the last decade.
Vettel and Rosberg.
Are Vettel and Rosberg. And so
Oh, Raikkonen.
Max, no, he won in 2008.
Oh.
Or seven. No, eight.
No, Hamilton won seven.
Yeah. So now we have Max Verstappen, who won Abu Dhabi in 2020. And guess who won the World Drivers' Championship in 2021? And I know people say that he didn't technically win the World Drivers' Championship.
He shouldn't have because they bent the rules. But I mean,
But do you think curses take into account technicalities? I think not. If anything, for the fact that he did win shows that the curse is legit and the curse has gone, aha, I must make this legit. We'll change all the rules to make my curse happen. And Max is like, I don't care. I won anyway. Woohoo. And the curse is like, ha 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 ha.
I'm imagining like the curse is like this little like gnome, like a garden gnome being like.
Yeah, just running around causing havoc. So if we can get Leclerc to win
this year,
Abu Dhabi 2021, hopefully he wins 2022.
Think about it, next year. But hold on. I can't see.
No, 2023. He'll win 2023,
I kind of want Verstappen to win 2023.
I want Verstappen to win this year.
No, hear me out.
I want him to win this year and 2024, and Leclerc's only World Drivers' Championship is 2022.
You mean 2023?
Yes.
I want Verstappen to win 2023. Do you know why?
And then he retires?
2023 would be his third World Championship.
But he can win his third World Championship in 2024.
Hold on. 2023, it'll be his third World Championship. It is also the year 2023. His driver's number is 3. And then he retires.
His driver's number is 33.
Oh, 33. Sorry, Ricardo.
I want Leclerc. So I want Verstappen to win 2022. So he's won 2021, 2022.
I mean, you want him to win 2022. It is so extremely unlikely. I mean, he could quit. Anyways. So Verstappen's going to quit with a couple of races to go when he's got 100-odd points.
I don't know. Anyway, so.
But hold on.
So Verstappen wins this year.
He will win
this
year.
And then Leclerc wins 23. And then Verstappen wins 24.
And then Verstappen retires.
And then Verstappen retires. And then Leclerc wins 25.
And then. Oh, but that means Sainz will never win.
Who said Sainz can't win 26?
He would have been in the race for like. He would have won the race.
Does it look
this
like.
One race.
Is this a face? Is this a face that cares about the logistics of it? Nah. But to be honest, I don't think Sainz will ever win a World Drivers' Championship, but I reckon he'll finish second.
I think he wants to win more races. I don't think he cares as much.
I think he does, but
he doesn't make sure everyone knows that he cares, whereas Leclerc's
anyway,
like,
so that's the Abu Dhabi curse, so we shall see how that plays out. You wanted to talk about Alonso, and I also want to talk about Alonso.
No. Before we go on to Alonso, before we go to the Abu Dhabi curse.
We finished the curse. Move on.
It is statistically possible now for.
Yeah, do the sums. Get your thumbs out, point out your fingers.
It is statistically possible for Verstappen to win the world championship as of Singapore.
If he wins in Singapore, he doesn't have to race another single race and he'll win.
Because Leclerc can't win every single race as well as get every single fastest car point and still beat Verstappen if Verstappen continues to race.
Yeah.
And get points. So it is statistically possible.
I would love that. I love it when it's like, if he has won that early on, then I feel as if everyone else is going to be, I think everyone else is going to be like, I'm going to have a ball racing.
What was the year that we knew the winner at Singapore as well? Or like, what was the year that we knew?
Schumacher's done a couple of them where he's known he's the winner really, really early on. I think there's been a couple with Hamilton as well. Yeah, Vettel as well. I think it was 2011.
One of them, because otherwise Vettel's had really hard.
I think it was 2011 and 2013 of the two that he won back to back to back to back to back to back.
But speaking of Vettel, who does Vettel drive for at the moment? Aston Martin. Who's currently at Aston Martin? Alonso. Who just drived as the first driver?
Academy.
Thank you. You were just letting me struggle there.
Yeah, I was. It was great to watch.
Who signed as the Driver Academy driver?
First ever.
First
Drivers
ever.
Academy.
Drivers driver. Academy driver. That doesn't sound right. First ever driver apprenticeship in F1.
The F2 winner.
Martin. F2 winner. Felipe.
Drugovich. Him.
How do I say it?
Drugovich.
Felipe.
Brazilian Felipe.
Anyway.
I saw a really funny meme.
That's what I was going to say. Don't take my wind.
Okay.
Don't take the thunder from my wind. Is that the saying? Don't steal my thunder.
Keep going.
So Felipe Drugovich is now the first driver apprenticeship at F1. I don't want to get tongue twisted.
It's the wrong words, but you know, just keep on going. I'm not going to correct you anymore. It's just too funny.
I don't care. So everybody, I used to have speech issues when I was a kid. And
no one cares, Ellen. I'll keep going.
No, but I get tongue-tied very easily and Katrina thinks it's hilarious.
It's very funny.
Spit it out.
Spit the words and that's better.
So Felipe Drugovich is the first driver apprenticeship for Aston Martin F1 Racing. And there was a meme how like there were these two muscly arms
in an arm wrestle.
And one of them has the name Piastri. One of them has the name Drugovich. And the commentary in the middle is signs a deal to start racing in
F1, hoping that Alonso will retire.
He'll never retire in like brackets.
Anyway, I saw another funny one.
So Drugovich is hoping that Alonso will retire sometime soon and then he'll be the second driver in Aston Martin along with Stroll. I think it'll be very interesting because I wonder if Drugovich will deal with Stroll or Stroll.
I think he's only
going to
be there until he can get into another team. In a different one, yeah.
Or unless Aston Martin actually like improve. Excuse me. Or what was that noise? That was you? Oh, okay. I was like, what is that noise? I think Felipe Drugovich has a really, really good chance of staying in Aston Martin if Aston Martin, like, improve their car. Think about it. Alonso's going to be exceptionally critical if the car is
horrible. I don't think
Alonso's
going to make it more than, like, 2 or 3 years.
No. I'm not saying that. He is going to be exceptionally critical of the car.
And he'll get sick and tired if he's losing still.
Yeah.
Because he's critical of the Alpine and the Alpine's doing well.
Yeah, but the Alpine's done a lot better since he started.
Exactly.
So Drugovich is the F2 championship. Drugovich.
Congratulations.
Has signed with Aston Martin, which is great.
The other meme I saw around Drugovich and Aston Martin is Lance Stroll is collecting Brazilian Felipes. And it was meme of if I had a nickel every time that happened, I'd have two nickels. But for the fact it happened twice. So this is Lance Stroll's second Brazilian Felipe teammate. First one being Felipe Massa when he started at Williams. Now, his second one is Felipe Drugovich at Aston Martin. He's like, he's collecting the Felipes.
It's a really
funny meme. So now Lance Stroll has two nickels and two Felipes.
That caught me completely off guard. I'm crying, Katrina.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh, see, I'm glad that you found that funny. Okay.
But so speaking of new drivers hoping to make their F1 debut, Nick De Vries made his F1 debut. As we mentioned in the episode beforehand.
The audios of him trying to get out of the car.
No, before we jump to the end. So he started, where did he start? Where's my notes?
Ninth?
De Vries started at 8th.
Oh, he started 8th and finished 9th.
He started at 8th, finished 9th. He got driver of the day.
Woo, woo,
he
woo.
Did so incredibly well for his very, very first F1 debut. He got points on his F1
and
debut.
2 points, not just 1 point.
He got 2 points more than his teammate has ever received, Latifi, this year. So, someone completely brand new, has never driven an F1 car before, was so physically exhausted
that he had to ask the FIA to lift him out. Two people had to physically hoist him out of the car.
And he still got points. So, I'll be very surprised if Nick De Vries doesn't make his F1 debut next year with... next year's debut with Williams. Anyway, so I've put the F1 race at Monza in the background on our TV, our digital TV. I'm very, very proud about that for some reason. Anyway, our digital TV, because we missed all of this. And everybody is now standing up, hats off, shirts off.
I mean, it must be hot then.
For the Italian anthem.
Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about with Alonso. All right, pay attention, Eleanor.
Don't worry, I'm not going to sing a Bocelli song. Oh, but there he is. Oh, he looks so happy. He's got a medal around his neck.
Yeah, he's
Order
got like...
Order of Italy?
The equivalent of Order of Australia, but Italian. Okay, Eleanor, back on topic. So the other thing that has popped up over Tumblr over the weekend regarding Alonso...
Oh, no.
Is that
it
is... No, it is the anniversary of what is known as Spygate.
What?
Do you know what Spygate is?
No.
Okay. Let me tell you something.
So Spygate...
is
man, can you imagine if Alonso
the
was a spy?
Most expensive, well, is the most expensive fine that has ever been delivered in any sporting regulation industry in the history of any recorded sports.
Okay.
A fine of $100 million.
What?
So.
100 million pounds? 100 million US?
100 million euros.
100 million Australian. Because 100 million Australian is not that bad.
100 million euros, which is like 180
100 million, million rand.
Australian dollars. No.
That would be good. Like,
drop a zero, please. No. So, Spygate. So, Spygate effectively was... I had a read of it again this morning. I don't remember the correct names, but there was a disgruntled Ferrari employee who... asked to get a promotion. He was in the engineering team.
Of course.
Or the strategy team, one of them. Anyway, he asked to get a promotion.
He's probably a jaded engineer.
And he was very jaded, and was effectively knocked back and denied a promotion in the team.
Poor guy.
So this dude has gone, you know what, screw the system. I'm going to make a quick buck off of this. Get some confidential Ferrari car design documents.
Was this when Ferrari was doing well?
This is 2000 and...
Because if this is when Ferrari's not doing well, I mean...
Alonso's at Ferrari at this point, so this is...
He didn't last very long.
This is in the... This is somewhere between 2000 and...
You're looking at me like I have the answers.
And 20, because Vettel moved to Ferrari when Alonso moved out. So somewhere between 2008 and 2014.
Okay.
Anyway... So this disgruntled Ferrari employee has gone, you know what, screw it. I'm going to go sell my engineering and earn some money off of this and help another team. Anyways, or maybe Alonso's at McLaren. No, Alonso's at McLaren at this point. I think it's 2008. I'm probably wrong, but it's in that period.
It's
in that period. It's in that period.
Oh, you never admit that you're wrong. That's great.
No, Alonso's at McLaren at this point.
And I don't know.
Alonso's at McLaren at this point, so I think it puts it at 2008.
Sure.
Or maybe 2007? 2008, one day.
Sure.
Anyway, so a disgruntled Ferrari employee has gone, you know what, I'm going to take this big, big physical folder of printed out design documents of the car and their aerodynamics and everything, hands it to a friend of his at McLaren and goes, you
friend.
Know what?
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there was money involved.
Excuse my swearing, Buck Ferrari. Here we go. Let's give McLaren these documents. The McLaren employee goes, oh, hell yeah, Ferrari's doing really good. Let's take these design documents, you know, let's share them with the team. Yeah, except we need to give back the original documents to Ferrari. So we need to take photocopies of all of them. This is back in the day before people obviously had their own scanners or, you know, photocopy machines.
Oh, my God.
So the McLaren employee, the McLaren employee goes to his wife. Can you please take these down to the local copy shop?
No.
And photocopy them.
No.
And the wife, having no idea what it is, has gone, sure, I'm just going to go down to the shop and ask for a copy of all of these. The guy working at the local copy shop has gone, how does this lady have all of these documents? Looks at the documents, sees Stefano Domenicali's name on the documents and goes, I'm pretty sure that this shouldn't be public knowledge. Googles what is Stefano Domenicali's email address.
Oh, my no.
Emails him.
Oh, my no.
Being like, FYI, I found some Ferrari documents. I think these are yours. A lady just walked into the shop to, you know, photocopy them. I may be getting the people wrong, but the general gist of the story is correct.
So the head Ferrari Domenicali sees his email.
Yeah, because Domenicali's
like,
in Ferrari at this point. He's not the head of the FIA. Anyway, he brings in the Ferrari employee into his office and goes, "Oh, I've just heard from a person that they found these documents. Do you have anything about it?" And he's like, "Yeah."
I gave them to McLaren.
Domenicali is like, "All right, let's go through emails." There's emails not even coded, just blatantly talking about it. Both the McLaren employee and the Ferrari employee in their work
emails talking about these confidential documents. Have some tact. It's 2008. People didn't think that the government was buying them.
Anyways, Domenicali goes to the FIA and it's like, "Hey, like, we found these things.
Help us.
Just letting you know, like, we understand there's going to be a penalty because of it." Anyways, the person at the FIA goes to Ron Dennis, who's working in McLaren. The person at FIA does not like Ron Dennis at all, cannot stand him. Goes, "Hey, like, there's been some accusations. I don't think it's real, but, like, we've heard that you've got some Ferrari documentation." Anyway, Ron Dennis has just laughed at him and gone, "Yeah, it's true." FIA has given a $100 million fine to McLaren.
Maybe that's why they can't develop a good car. They're still paying off the fine.
But they've given it to McLaren, not Ferrari, because they got the documents but didn't immediately hand them back. So because FIA saw it as, well, if Ferrari want to give away their information that's making them win, fine, that's their loss. But another team shouldn't be willing to take it.
I understand that.
Anyway,
that makes good logic.
So it's the anniversary of that fine, 100 million euros for that instance came out. But the joke is that 5 million of it were attached to McLaren and 95 million attached to Ron Dennis, who was in McLaren at the time. So that's the anniversary today. So that's linking to the fact that Alonso has bad luck wherever he goes, not just in winning, but in monetary failures as well.
He can't make...
Story done.
He won't make Aston Martin go bust.
No, but I don't think he's going to make them win money.
Which is why they probably signed Filippo Drogovic. You're like, you will be so much cheaper.
Yeah, but also it's been a while since they've had a Brazilian on the grid, so that'd be good.
But also it'd be good to see unpopular opinion, but I think it's a popular opinion because Katrina agrees with me. I think it's time for some of the older drivers to retire and let the new wave of drivers
come
through.
I love Ricciardo. I love Hamilton. We are Vettel fans as well in this household. However, and even Perez, it's time to start
a new generation.
Yeah, because they've all been in it over a decade. I feel as if 10 years in a role like this. I was showing Eleanor this morning a TikTok.
Were you?
Yeah. And it was, who would have been the World Drivers' Championship winners if there were no repeat winners? And I reckon that would be, I don't think it'll happen in our lifetime, but it'll probably eventually go to the point where if you win once, you cannot win again. Because that's what F2 has.
If you win once, you can't win the next year.
Yeah. And that's effectively it. And having that TikTok pop up going through, if repeat winners didn't happen, so many people on the grid would have won championships by now. But no, nothing wrong with Hamilton. He is an absolutely amazing driver. But I do think he is an anomaly. Him and Schumacher, both winning so many, I don't think that's a repeat thing with multiple people. And if so, it'll be another 10 years until that happens again. But until we find that next person who can win 10, I think Verstappen can win 10, but I don't think Verstappen will want to.
I think he has the drive. Has the drive. He drives for his life.
That's exactly it. Just because you can doesn't mean you want to. Yeah. So I reckon
everyone could do Nico Rosberg. Quit.
Yeah, exactly. Quit while you're ahead. No one can beat you then.
Create your Formula E team.
Yeah. So I reckon, I'm looking forward to when Hamilton retires, Ricciardo retires, Vettel retires, Alonso retires, Perez retires.
Next year that we know of. Ricciardo doesn't have a seat for next year that we know of. Oh my gosh, that's what we're supposed to talk about.
Mm.
It's Monza. Usually all the seats are announced by the end of Monza.
But it hasn't.
No more seats have been announced.
We do not know who was going in the second AlphaTauri. We do not know who was going in the second Alpine, the second Haas, the second Williams, or the second Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
They're all still up in the air.
Though the Alfa Romeo is probably still with Zoe. He's done exceptionally well in his
rookie
year.
And AlphaTauri still is probably with Sonoda, but there's still been no official communication regarding either of them.
Yeah, so that's interesting. That's surprising. Because I thought they would have announced that.
No, hold on. Wait. Where are we going?
Singapore. I love Singapore.
So what teams will be smart to re-announce?
It's Vettel's race.
It is Vettel's race.
Vettel does well, especially. He's going to be so motivated since he DNF'd and he's like, Singapore.
But I'm pretty sure there's only been three winners of Singapore.
Vettel.
It's been Vettel.
Hamilton. And Vettel.
And I think Ricciardo's only won once.
Vettel.
But like they're the only three winners of Singapore. Anyways, so if I was in marketing and I was going to re-sign Zhou and Tsunoda.
I would announce it in
Singapore.
I would
announce Zhou signing in Singapore because Zhou considers Singapore his second home race outside of China.
I thought he classified Australia as his home race as well.
He was surprised by how big the Asian population were in Australia, which I don't know why everyone's so surprised by it. Look at the proximity.
No one comes here.
I guess. But look at the proximity. But everyone loves...
Everyone loves Zhou.
So
he seems so humble.
He's come on record saying that outside of China, he would consider Singapore his home race. So if that's the case, then Alfa Romeo, if they're smart, I hope they are,
will announce
that he's re-signing in Singapore.
And they'll announce
And
Tsunoda
why would you not re-sign Tsunoda announcement in Japan at his home race?
Okay, now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense.
However, there's no excuse for Latifi and there's no excuse for not knowing. There's no excuse for the Williams, the Alpine or the Haas teams. Because all the current drivers in there are not Asian.
I think it's the contracts. They can't agree on the contracts or the technicalities or whatnot.
So maybe we won't know until...
Singapore.
Brazil or something.
I love Brazil's race. I absolutely love Brazil's race.
It's at 3 a.m. for us.
Yes, but Brazil, I love the track. I don't know why. I have no idea what anybody's saying, but it's great. I love Brazil. It's always an interesting race to watch. Can you imagine if Felipe does his first FP1 test run at... Brazil.
Well, speaking of which, they're running out of racetracks to do their free practice sessions at.
A lot have been announced for the City of the Americas track. A lot of
drivers. Yeah, so Ferrari, I think, are doing theirs.
Same with Logan Sargent.
Is he? But who's he doing that for?
McLaren, because McLaren haven't run their drivers. He's doing one of them for McLaren, I think.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway. So they're running out of time.
Before we close the episode today, we've talked for a little bit. It's already running at 46 minutes. However, there is one bullet point on our list of bullet points that we have not covered. Ferrari actually had a smooth race with good strategy.
Ferrari did great.
They
were just unlucky.
No, they weren't unlucky. The whole field was unlucky. So it wasn't just them.
So they were so unlucky that it impacted everybody.
Yes. Yes. So Ferrari actually had a good strategy for once. They did well. They didn't have super fast pit stops. They didn't get the fastest.
They did really well. Their car was just not speedy enough.
But they did so well with all of that pressure from the Tifosi. Oh, and that's one thing. Tifosi fans, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Never boo somebody.
No.
Never boo somebody.
Do you not realize that the silent treatment is so much more powerful? If you really don't like Verstappen, don't cheer, don't boo, just make it dead silent.
I like there's so much disrespect booing somebody. He has driven so well. He's deserved that first place. Don't boo him.
You know, maybe boo him if, you know, like he pushed the other drivers off of the track.
But it was a clean...
Or cause the accident. He didn't do that.
It was a clean, fair race, and everybody who booed him should be ashamed. How would you like to be booed if you won something that you really wanted to win? It wouldn't feel nice. Shouldn't boo people. I feel like
you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Just don't make any noise. Or you know what? Leave.
Exactly. So like he was booed when he did his interview. Like I can understand how some of the booing.
But so was Russell.
I can understand how some of the booing would have come across because the media place where they do their interviews is really, really close to the grandstand. So it would have the sound would have carried across. But when the national anthem was on and inappropriate. When he walked up to the podium, the boos were so incredibly loud. Like, don't boo somebody. It's not necessary. And don't boo Russell.
No.
Russell's done nothing wrong. He's been Mr. Consistent for the last however many races, third, fourth,
but
or fifth.
Both of them are doing absolutely amazingly in their careers. I know you want Ferrari to be 1-2. However,
life's not like that. Life's not fair.
No.
And so I know it's a little bit of a sour note to leave it
on. Dare I say, you're better off being an online warrior, like a troll online, than physically making someone known in person that you are disliking them. Because it's easier to ignore social media comments than it is to physically see that you're in an environment that no one wants you there.
Russell handled it very well, but I think Russell's got like skin as thick as timber. Like he is just, everything will go off his shoulders. You could see that it affected Max.
Yeah,
also
it affected Charles as well.
You could see that it affected Max. And so I'm very disappointed in the Tifosi's behaviour. I'm not surprised by it.
I'm very
disappointed by their behaviour.
Vettel was able to handle being booed for 4 years.
Yeah.
He made Vettel a stronger person because Vettel took it as like, here's ammunition. Screw all of you guys. I'm going to win again. And he did. I don't think it'll work like that for Max. I reckon it'll slowly eat away at him because it's different. His dad giving him negative responses to the world.
But he's also, he's still in his early 20s.
He's only 24, isn't he?
He's in his early 20s. All he's, either way, he's in his early 20s. All he's known.
He's 25.
All he's known is racing, and he's always had the pressure.
No, he's still 24.
But he's always had the pressure of his dad, his family, let alone, like, there's no.
He doesn't need the world's pressure on him as well. He's driving for Red Bull, which is a very difficult team to do well in.
But there's also the point that everybody thinks he didn't deserve last year's win.
I think he did.
No, but he's already got a lot of hate from that. Let alone this whole year thinking that they've taken Charles's championship away from them. They haven't taken Charles.
Maybe he's taken Charles's championship if it was as close as the race last year, but it wasn't.
Charles hasn't been close enough to warrant that behaviour.
Not in the past 3 or 4 months he hasn't been.
I think it's completely inappropriate. So going into Singapore, every single person who I've met from Singapore who has lived in Singapore, lovely.
I've never met an awful person from Singapore.
Kind, polite, so there's probably going to be no booing. But yeah, that was just, I just wanted to mention that. Like, Ferrari had a clean, smooth race.
They could not have done anything better apart from having a faster car.
And no curse. And no curse.
The curse may work in their favour next year.
That being that, the Singapore weekend is in a couple of weeks' time.
It's not this weekend coming, it's the weekend after. It is a 10 PM race for us, so I don't know what time it is for all of you over there.
Because it's a night race. The only bad thing about Singapore is that, yes, it's in our time zone, but because it's a night race.
It's still night. It makes no difference whether it's a 9 PM start for us here in Australia and it's 3 PM over for everyone in Europe, but it's 10 PM for us over in Australia. But you know what? Singapore's the same time zone as us.
Great. So we'll be able to record and release the next morning.
I reckon we actually suck it up and do it that night.
Yeah, because it's the correct time zones. Mm. The only thing I was going to say is that we have a couple of public holidays leading up before it, or I don't know. We've got one. We've got the Queen's. We've got the Queen's birthday.
When is the Singapore's date? Do you have
the 20? Hold on, I've got it written down in our book. So
is it the Queen's birthday weekend?
Well, we celebrate the Queen's birthday in September because her actual birthday is the same. Her actual celebrated public holiday is on the same day as WA Day, and they're like, you can't have two public holidays in one weekend, so they've put ours in September. So
rip off, we should have had two in a week.
So Singapore, it's the weekend of like the 1st, 2nd, 3rd.
Oh, so Eleanor, that's amazing because we have a public holiday on the 22nd of September. We have a public holiday on that first Monday.
Yep.
And then we've got that on the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. So that's in a couple of weeks' time. I love Singapore.
I love Singapore too.
The race is going to be good. I like the track.
Fabulous country.
It's a street track. It's at night. Everyone gets
scared.
There's
no Singapore hate in this household. We love Singapore.
But everybody gets scared because it's like Baku where they physically can't move the track anywhere else because of the buildings.
Science likes night races and he likes street tracks.
I want Vettel to do well.
I saw a Tumblr post and it was like, I want to do a reverse grid just for Singapore. Only for the fact that Vettel will start at the front. It's shown that, you know, the Ferraris, the Mercedes and Red Bull can equally just easily win at the end of the race. So why not let Seb start first?
Yeah.
He's not going to win anyways, but let him start at the front.
No, see, I don't want a reverse grid. I want people to pick their positions out of a hat. Screw qualifying. I'm starting 5th.
Like, you know, I reckon though, if everyone has equal penalties, then
imagine,
do that.
Can you imagine if there's a charity race? They should do. They should.
They do them. They had one in snow this year.
No, but like, imagine if they do a charity race each year and they pick their numbers out of a hat, and it's all at Singapore. Anyway, we're getting distracted. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you at the end of
September. Post-qualifying after Singapore.
Have a lovely week and weekend. Wear your good gas bags.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. Bye.